Wait for it, wait for it. Welcome to the BerlinBrigade.com podcast with your host, David Guerra.
Greetings and welcome to episode 43 of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast. I am your host, David Guerra, former member of Alpha Company 6th Battalion, 502nd Infantry, Berlin Brigade, United States Army, and I want to wish you a very happy and wonderful holiday season. Yep, you heard that right. The 2012 holiday season is well underway. And I want to thank you for taking the time to join me today on this, the greatest podcast exclusively dedicated to all the men and women that ever served in and supported the mission of the United States Army's most illustrious and most prestigious unit, the Berlin Brigade and the Berlin Command. As always, a great big BerlinBrigade.com thank you to all those active duty military personnel listening from around the world. Please keep up the good work, stay sharp, and of course, always stay safe. So listen, without further delay, Los Geht's mit diesem Podcast.
It's time for the special announcements.
I have only one notice, and it is a very important one. It comes from our very good friends over at the Allied Museum in Berlin. It was my distinct honor and pleasure to be at the Allied Museum at the former Outpost Theater and the Major Arthur Nicholson Library on November 9, 2009, 20 years after the fall of the Berlin Wall, to give a short speech and a presentation of commemorative stamps by our good friend and author T.H.E. Hill. Earlier this month, I received an email from Florian Pauls, a curator at the Allied Museum, and it talked about an upcoming exhibit at the museum. And I said it would be my pleasure, and definitely it is, to do what I can to help the museum and its mission. And in this case, it is to help get the word out about the special exhibit that's coming up. So listen, I'm going to read from the document Florian Pauls sent, and you can also find the document on the show page at the BerlinBrigade.com website. Did you go dancing in a GI club? The Allied Museum, situated in Berlin's Zehlendorf district, is calling upon all music enthusiasts and clubbers to share their experiences in clubs and bars predominantly frequented by soldiers of the three Western Allies, France, the United Kingdom, and the United States, between 1945 and 1994 in West Berlin and West Germany. In 2013, the Allied Museum will be showing an exhibit with the current working title, quote, From G.I. Jive to G.I. Disco, end quote. This exhibition will explain how a vibrant music and club scene was established in and around garrisons such as Berlin. From the very beginning of the occupation period, music introduced by British, French, and American soldiers had a major impact upon German music and youth culture. Music, for that matter, became a means of bonding and made enemies become friends. Furthermore, music, for many, helped to feel being home away from home. For this project, the Allied Museum has joined forces with two Berlin-based DJs, Calicuts and Daniel W. Best. Spending their teenage years in West Berlin and Stuttgart, both were influenced by the sound played in GI clubs such as Mad Axe in Stuttgart, or Silver Wings and Talk of the Town in Berlin. Going back to the roots of their DJing career, they are successfully touring Europe as GI Disco, reviving disco, soul, funk, house, and hip-hop tunes from the 70s and 80s. The Allied Museum is kindly asking you to share your memories of the Allied club and music culture in Germany. This could have been as early as the 1940s and as late as the early 1990s. If you can contribute to this exhibition, please contact us. In addition, we would be pleased to receive items related to this subject, such as clothing and fashion, entry tickets, matchboxes, photos, records, tapes, instruments, etc. For further questions and for further information, please call Florian Pauls. And that's the email, the PDF email. Like I said, that will be on the BerlinBrigade.com episode 43 show page. You'll be able to download the entire document there. Folks, before we start the interview portion of this episode, I want to give a shout-out to our past guest, Michael Kilmer, former member of 592nd Signal Support Company, from October of 1960 to August of 1962. Thank you, Mike. It was a lot of fun. But now, we can move on, and we're going to hear from Mike in just a minute. And we do so because we're going to continue our tradition of our annual Where Were You When the Berlin Wall Fell episode. Now, this is the episode where the past guest, the guests from over the year, tell us in their own words where they were, what they were doing, and what they thought when they first heard the Berlin Wall fell.
Okay, well, it's time to ask somebody else that question again, and this time it's Darren Taylor. He was with 2nd Platoon, Alpha Company, 6th Battalion, 502nd Infantry from October of 85 to October of 87. And Darren, it's your turn. Everybody else has been asked a question, so your turn. Darren, where were you when the wall fell down? What were you doing, and what were your impressions?
Oh, I think the sign of jubilation was, that was my impression. It was a time that for, I would say, probably most people, you know, the wall came down great, but for those who served in Berlin and those who have a definite relationship with the city and the people, it was an amazing thing. I have my little piece of the wall myself. Actually, I have a whole thing of shadow box full of memories just related to Berlin. The wall coming down, I was already out of the military. I was doing some reserve stuff at the time. But the thing I remember the most was the prelude up to the fall, because it was something that we all knew even back when we were stationed there, that the wall coming down was inedible. It's coming down. I remember being at Tiergarten at the park at the wall when Reagan gave his speech. That's a memory I'll never forget, being actually there, hearing it, and it being such a historic thing. But when it came down, I remember the not only all the every network camera had it. It was just a great, great feeling. But I also remember the weeks coming up to it, where the East Berliners of the DDR were being allowed to have more travel passes, where they were able to go into Czechoslovakia and some of the countries that aren't even with us anymore. But I remember them being able to have more expressed freedom, where they were able to travel a little bit more, even in their Eastern Bloc, and they were all going to the embassies in all the other countries. And, you know, I remember that prelude sticks out to me as much as the wall coming down itself, because that's, you know, for me, that's when I knew that, man, that sucker's coming down. It's just a matter of time now. And it's almost like you're watching the shot clock on a basketball game, because you've seen all the people were just descending on all the embassies and anywhere they could outside of the DDR, which is, you know, for those who, you know, were in Berlin, that was the Deutsche Demokratische Republik of Germany, which wasn't very democratic in my opinion, but where all these guys were just, you know, you could see them, the anticipation there, that you could see that wall was just a matter of time. And that, for me, when the wall came down, that sticks out as much to me as when the wall came down, just that anticipation, because you see what was going on in the world, and it was just waiting to see Germany reunited. And I have to say that, you know, I'm a history nut, so it just the history of Germany going against almost the rest of the world's, wishes that to reunify. You know, that's, you know, a lot of people just thought that was going to be automatic, but, you know, right when the wall came down, that was a big thing. Is, you know, is East Germany still going to be its own country, or is Germany going to reunite it, and how are they going to do that? And a lot of the world was, you know, really concerned. Due to that big of an influx and Germany becoming that big of a country again, if it was going to, you know, crash a lot of financial institutions, kind of like what we're worried about today. But I remember that the build up to that, and when the wall came down, and then, you know, Germany saying, you know, we're going to be united again, and there was, you know, quite a bit of outcry through other nations in the country, and even to include our own a little bit, to say, hold off here. Let's look at this and see what, you know, what's going to be best. And that's one thing I have to say about, you know, West Germany said, no, we are Germany. We're going to be united. We are Germany. And so I thought that was a great thing. So overall, you know, although now I root for the Dutch team, of course, with a marriage to a Dutch woman, if I rooted for German team, I'd be in trouble during World Cup. But that, for me, when the wall came down, that was the big thing, is just the anticipation, the watching of it, and watching it happen, and thank goodness in our lifetime, and it was so fresh after we'd left Berlin that it was, you know, for me, it was a monumental time in my life. I remember that just as well as I remember the World Trade Centers. Maybe someone who doesn't have the relationship with the city of Berlin or its people or the military. You know, that wouldn't be as big of a monumental time in their life, but, you know, I put that up there with when my daughter was born, getting married, the wall coming down, the World Trade Centers. Those are times that, you know, they stick in your mind and your being as a person. So those, for lack of a better term, those, you know, markers in your life that where were you at this time? And as other generations remember Kennedy, I'll always remember the wall. And so that's one of the things, and it coming down and being so just elated. I think I was working in nightclubs at the time and just being elated at the time. It's like, oh, yeah, the wall's down. So that was a good thing. That's about what I have on that, Dave.
Okay, now it's John Alvarado's turn. You might remember we talked to John Alvarado. He was the RTO at the Rail Transportation Officer over in from February of 86 to February of 89. And John, it's your turn to get asked this question. Where were you and what were you doing and what did you think when you found out the wall fell down?
Well, you know, I was actually back in here in Conus at the time. I was back in New Mexico. I'd been working in a maintenance position that I'd been assigned here for the New Mexico National Guard. And what happened was, you know, I was just sitting at home and I'd kind of been hearing the grumblings, you know, the little bits of announcements that had been coming through. But that particular evening, you know, it was just like everything stopped. You know, it just, you know, the TV came alive. The reports were coming on. The news services were all reporting of the fall of the Berlin Wall. And it was just an incredible sight. You know, I just couldn't. You know, I had just left there, you know, less than 6 months, 7 months before. And here it was, something that I thought was going to stand for another 20 years was crumbling right before my eyes. And you know, I was happy. I mean, I was rejoicing, you know, that ugly scar that we had in the city of Berlin and in the world, really, because it was a symbol of tyranny, was crumbling, and that democracy had prevailed over time. You know, I mean, that was just incredible to be part of that, to know that I had contributed to that in some small way. You know, I don't know what it might have been, but, you know, we all served there. There's a role that we all play in that history. You know, from everything from the wall patrols to the checkpoints to the visits by President Reagan and you know, and all the others that visited, you know, including Kennedy. You know, the soldiers there just were always the symbol of freedom. And when I saw that on television that night, you know, it brought tears to my eyes. It gave me great joy. It gave me great pride. And my family all gathered around. You know, they were astounded and as excited as I was. You know, of course, the little ones didn't really understand it too much. But my older two, they caught on. They knew what was going on. They understood it very well. And so I was very... It was a great day, let me put it that way.
Okay, well then, now that leads me to the question. And again, everybody, we are talking to State Representative James White. He is a member of the Texas House of Representatives. Yep, Texas, that's right. And we talked to him in October of 2011, but it didn't get aired until about January of this year. But that's okay. But we asked him the question that we asked everybody else, and we're asking him today. Representative White, where were you and what were you doing and what were your impressions when you first heard the wall fell?
I was still a company executive officer. I remember that morning, leading up to that, we were getting ready for a major brain block period where we were going out to do our, what we call the Army Readiness Training Evaluation Program, or RTEP. And the night morning that the wall came down, that's when we got the alert. Now, the alert was, I'm just going to go ahead and say it was a routine alert that you would expect to get on the wake of a major training exercise. When we got to the unit, we were told that we would not just roll out early that morning. Apparently, from what I was told, and just to show our graciousness as a country, I believe the Russians were extremely embarrassed by that course of events. The U.S. commander of Berlin at that time had met with the Russian commander of Berlin, and the U.S. commander of Berlin had decided that, no, he was not going to stop us from conducting our training. However, we were to just wait until daylight come out. We rolled out. We conducted our training in the Mount site, the military operations of urban terrain site. And we came in the first, you know, the RTEP was 7 days. So we came in, I believe, the first 3 or 4 days, we just came back in to our quarters. And we didn't stay out and conduct extensive, you know, throughout the night operations. But it was a very exciting period. We were happy and elated for the Berliners and for all of Germany and Europe, for that matter. It came to the realization that vigilance and freedom had prevailed, and it was just a great time to be in Berlin. A quite uncertain few days after that, because you just didn't know what all of these events meant, but you knew it was going in the right trajectory, David.
So as the this huge international situation was unfolding right down the road from Andrews, McNair, and Clay. The brigade still alerted. The brigade still went out and did its training the way the brigade has always done it, I guess. Again, something I didn't know. Very interesting to know that that's what really transpired that day or that morning after the wall came down there in Berlin.
It was just a confluence of a lot of events, the RTEP, the wall coming down, and, of course, all of this was moving forward from the spring of 89, you know, the summer of 89, going into that November 9, 89. But I was in my personal quarters watching it on television and seeing the wall come down and the idea that it was a peaceful revolt. And I guess at the end of the day, you're right. And all of us, regardless of our situation, there is an inside yearning for freedom. And that is what prevailed on 9 November 1989.
Okay, now we're at that point. Again, we're here with Mike Kilmer. He was in Berlin from October of 1960 to August of 1962 with the 592nd Signal Support Company. And we had a great time here at the Schneider's German Guesthouse and Beer Garden. We recorded this in February of 2012. And it's that time when we ask everybody the same question. Mike, where were you and what were your thoughts when the wall fell down in November of 1989?
I was working as a local veterans employment representative in St. Louis, Missouri. And what I thought was, boy, I wish I could have been there because I knew it was going to be the best party ever. I know how Berliners like to party, and I sure would have loved to have been there, but I couldn't make it. I was still employed and not available to go there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I know. Same thing with me. I was working, and but it's one of those things that they don't announce ahead of time. Hey, come on down. November 9, 1989, we're going to tear down the wall. Unfortunately, they didn't do that. So otherwise, I would have taken some time off. But to drop everything and go, that definitely was not something I couldn't do at the time. Let's look at it from, you know, you were there when the wall went up, and then you see it, you hear about it, going down, you know, in 89. Any reflective thoughts at that moment back to, you know, 61 to 89?
Well, other than the fact that I knew it would have to come down sometime, but I had no idea that when it would be coming down. And just looking at, you know, the people that, that put it up, as those people got older and died off and whatever, while they finally cooler heads prevailed and they decided, hey, this is a losing proposition, it ain't working. So when everybody else started raising Cain, and well, and the Russians weren't really supportive of it anymore, why, that's when it came down. So that's the way it goes. And of course, some Berliners today, if you'd ask them, they'd say, put it back up, you know, because they, they're tired of having some of the people that aren't as used to traditional German outlook not supporting the economy. So that's another kind of viewpoint.
Let me ask you, and you alluded to it right here at the beginning when you answered the last question. Well, this real quick, let's go back to 1961. Did you think that the wall was really ever going to come down, or did you think that it was going to be there forever and ever?
Oh, I had no doubt it'd come down, but I had no idea that it would be there as long as it was. That, you know, the fact that you're 110 miles behind the Iron Curtain, why, that always was in people's mind. And of course, we knew if it ever, that the flag was ever up, you know, we only had like 3 days of ammunition. A lot of Americans didn't realize that. You know, we were stuck there, and we had enough food to feed all of Berlin for a year. They saw to that after the airlift, but ammunition. That's why. All the support troops weren't issued selector switches for their M14s.
Our fifth interviewer, and fifth person to tell us, is someone who, well, arrived in Berlin just a few days before the wall fell. Talk about luck. He called in on the BerlinBrigade.com hotline and talked to us about what it was like to arrive in the divided city, only to have it change completely within a week.
Hi, Dave. This is Mark Lale. The last name is Lima Echo Hotel Lima. I am under the on Facebook as Mark Ledoux, LEDOUX. I am calling to let you and the fellow Berlin Brigaders know about my time in Berlin. I was stationed in the when I originally got there. I was in HHC. Six of the HHC Berlin Brigade, and about 6 months later, I was then transferred to HHC 6th Battalion 40th Armor. I arrived in Berlin on 2 November of 89. I originally signed up to go to U.S. Army Europe, because I loved Europe. And when I landed in Rhein-Main on 31 October 1989, I was sent to the 21st Replacement Processing Detachment, where you get your pinpoint orders. They called everybody else except for me, and I think there was one other guy that was not called. I was 18 years old at the time. I wasn't sure how this all worked, so I then thought they forgot about me or something. I was kind of worried, a little stressed out because, you know, in a foreign country and so young. Anyway, the following day they called me and said you were going to be assigned to Berlin. My first reaction was, is that in East Germany? And they said, yes, it was. And anyway, after a few other things, they gave me train tickets and instructed me on how to get to the Frankfurt Hauptbahnhof. Where I proceeded to that afternoon and got there, you know, late afternoonish, and waited around. Luckily, I had some other soldiers that were far more experienced than I was. They helped me to take the. We got on the duty train for an overnight ride to Berlin. upon getting to the GDR border, the Russian guards would not let us go through. There was some big to do with some missing paperwork or paperwork that wasn't signed or something. I forget the whole reason, but it was kind of tense there for a while. There was Russians and Americans yelling at each other. Finally got into Berlin around 0600 on 2 November 89, a Thursday morning. I had a soldier that was there. Apparently he knew I was on my way or something, and luckily they were there to pick me up and took me to my unit over on Andrews Kaserne and proceeded to meet the rest of my unit, my section, and start DM processing. It was quite the culture shock. I come from a real small town in Wisconsin and really didn't know too much about anything over there. So that was Thursday morning. Friday night, these guys that I met decided to take me out to downtown Berlin to the Kudamm. Went to a club called the Big Eden where I ended up getting lost in the crowd from them and had to find my own way back to Andrews, and that was an interesting experience. Anyway, so a week later, on Thursday the 9th of November, which I think all Berlin Brigaders know real well, it was the last day before a 4-day weekend for Veterans Day, and I was going up the, or no, I'm sorry, I was coming, going down the stairs in building 9301 on Andrews, and somebody told me that the wall had fallen, or they opened the wall, and it was just a lot of different information, you know, a lot of, you know, different stories on what's true, what's not. So we all started watching some of the TV and found out that it would be true. The following day, Friday morning, then a bunch of us went down to, wanted to get down to the Kudamm while we took a taxi, and we couldn't get within 15 blocks of the Kudamm. There was so many people, and we started walking around and everything and looking around, and just the amazing sights, and with people crying and actually that they were free for the first time in 25, 26 years. It was just, more than that, 28 years. It was just an amazing, amazing experience. And we ended up walking down to Checkpoint Charlie and over to the Reichstag and the Brandenburg tour. It was the most amazing experience, and really, for somebody at my age of 18 years old, it was really my first time that I experienced something so historic, and just to know that I was there at that time, even though I had really nothing to do with, the Berlin the wall opening, it was a lot of it had to do with the soldiers before me. It was an amazing experience, and just the looks on people's faces is something that I'll never ever forget, how freedom is truly free. And from that moment on, I really realized how special being stationed in Berlin is and was. It was the best unit I have ever served in. It was my favorite place I've ever been. And something that I'll cherish with me for the rest of my life. If I could go back and turn back the hands of time, I'd go back to 1989, relive it all over again. It was that special. My one regret was I did not extend my tour and see it through to the closing of the Berlin Brigade in the summer of 94. I wish I would have done that. That was a big regret. But nevertheless, I had an honor. It was such an honor to have served there, and I really, really just every day I think about Berlin and about the time there. So, would I have liked to have been there earlier when the wall was up, and you know, in the mid '80s and earlier than that, instead of just 1 week, essentially? Sure, but still, to be there at that time was really an amazing experience. Thank you for your time, and take care.
Again, I want to give a great big BerlinBrigade.com thank you to Mark Ledoux, Michael Kilmer, Texas State Representative James White, United States Army Colonel retired John Alvarado, and my Alpha Company 6th Battalion 502nd Infantry buddy Darren Taylor for sharing with all of us what they were doing when they heard that the Berlin Wall fell. Thank you, and I can't wait to hear next year's stories. These are awesome. Well, the time has come to wrap up this episode of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast. As always, I invite you to call and leave a voice message or audio comment on the BerlinBrigade.com hotline at 413-274-4233. That's 413-BRIGADE. Who knows, it might just end up on the next episode, just like Mark did with this episode. Also, please don't forget to check out the document from the Allied Museum looking for you to share your memories of the Allied Club and music culture in Germany. Remember, that PDF is available for download in the episode 43 page of the BerlinBrigade.com website. Let's see. Oh, yes. Also, please, you can always send comments, concerns, questions, reunion information, and, of course, show ideas to Dave at BerlinBrigade.com. Also, if you or someone you know has something to share with all of us, and more likely you do, so please drop us a note, again, dave@berlinbrigade.com, and we'll set up a date and a time. We'll do an interview. It's harmless, really. It doesn't hurt. And before you know it, we'll get you on the show. Also, I invite you to stay up to date with the latest at berlinbrigade.com by following us on Twitter at www.twitter.com/berlinbrigade, and Berlin Brigade's all one word. And please, also, I invite you to like our BerlinBrigade.com page on Facebook at www.facebook.com/BerlinBrigade, again, all one word, or by clicking on the links on the BerlinBrigade.com homepage. I promise on the YouTube, we'll get more video up there. I want to take a moment to say thank you, domo arigato, merci beaucoup, vielen Dank to all the website visitors this past month. I do hope you've enjoyed your visit to BerlinBrigade.com, and I invite you to come back again real soon. Be sure to come back again for our next episode, episode 44. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be very interesting, and it's also going to round out the year 2012, and it's going to lead us into 2013, where a lot of great stuff's already on tap. Well, everyone, that's it for the 43rd edition of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast. I am your host, David Guerra. Thank you for spending this time with me. I appreciate it. I wish you and all the veterans out there a very happy Veterans Day. And everyone, and I mean everyone, whether you're at home, you're deployed, no matter where you're at, have a safe, happy, and wonderful Thanksgiving. Until next time, goodbye. Auf Wiedersehen. Tschüss.
Sergeant Major, dismiss the brigade! The BerlinBrigade.com podcast is a Dave Guerra production. Thank you.